In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to another episode of the Harmony Goal Podcast. And once again, our podcast was designed and put together to highlight people who are making a difference in the world, people that are out there making a change, creating more harmony, and making this a better world for everyone in it. And today, our guest is Mr. Dennis Oliver. And I've been hoping to get Dennis on one of our podcasts since we started here. And we're fortunate enough to be able to squeeze into his schedule today. Let me tell you a little bit about Dennis. Dennis has worked for years and years in the oil industry, and his primary work was on the road, where he was gone most of the time and a long time living in Marriott hotels. He has special status with Marriott because he stayed at their hotels for so long. He spent many, many years phasing into a retirement that he's finally now retired. But throughout all his work years and his phasing out of work and into today, he has been dedicated to volunteer work of various sorts. He actually started his passion for volunteer work back in Holyoke, Colorado, with doing some volunteer work with his mother at concerts. So his love of the arts and volunteering kind of go hand in hand with one another. And he's done so much volunteer work that his friends refer to him as the guy who just can't say no. So, Dennis Oliver, we are thrilled to have you here today. And I want to find out a little bit more about if I missed anything that is important to tell the audience about you. And I'd like to find out a little bit more about your volunteer work as a child working with your mom back in Holyoke. So what can you tell us about that?
Thank you. Okay. My mother was, she was very used to the bigger cities, New York, Washington, D.C., Portland, Oregon, and through the South. And she ended up in Holyoke, and a quiet environment for her and a change. So she got interested in doing concerts, getting concerts to come to Holyoke, various groups, choirs, and piano players. And one of her first concerts was a Russian choir of men. And my father and I went along, and it was rather challenging for a fifth grader to listen to all that. So at intermission, I proclaimed I was done with sitting in there, and my mother was giving me a lecture, and my father said, "Oh, I'm with you." So he agreed. He didn't want to listen to any more of that. Well, after that, the concerts improved dramatically, and they're still going today. And I give money in their honor. They're both deceased now, so I give it as a memorial, and it's still quite active. I think they do four or five concerts a year.
That's fantastic. Your mom, and you helped her put some of that stuff together and do the busy work and all that stuff, in addition to now helping out financially. That's amazing. I understand. I understand in Holyoke, you also got involved with a hospital there. Do you want to tell us that story?
Yes. I had a young boy, actually my office manager's son came down with leukemia and lymphoma. And the trips back and forth to Denver for chemo was really rough. You know, not fun having chemo, but to add 6 hours back and forth on the adventure is just awful. And so, and he recovered. He's a wonderful young man today. And so they built a new hospital, and our office folks, County Abstract Company, and I and Aldine Hine put financial money to include a chemo center in the hospital so that people did not have to travel as far for their chemo. And there was a lady that went to school to become a chemotherapist. And so today, the chemo center, I think, is pretty active. I'm not positive today.
Wow, that's amazing. So just the compassion of knowing full well that people had to travel all the way over to Denver, that's quite a trip, especially if you're not well. To be sitting in a car that long, that's pretty amazing. So your insight into that was fabulous, and I applaud you for that. And today, I understand you have been declared as legally blind. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. And in the midst of even being legally blind, you are still just incredibly active in the community doing volunteer work. It hasn't stopped you at all. It slowed you down.
Yeah, I had maybe 2 hours of a pity party, and a friend asked her, you know, how do you do that? And I said, well, if I kept bitching about it, you'd lose my phone number and I wouldn't have any friends. So I better just get on with it and keep on going. And so that's what I've done.
That is amazing. I think the rest of us sitting out here would be sitting there wondering how would we handle that. But Dennis Oliver says, I'm going to move on because people need me. And one of the projects that I know is near and dear to you, one of the things that just is touched your heart deeply, is an organization here in Denver called Project Angel Heart. And tell us a little bit about what Project Angel Heart is and what they do.
Just prior to hospital project, and having that problem too, Project Angel Heart, I had done hospice for 6 years, and that was wearing thin on me. And I thought, well, what else could they do? So I researched and thought, oh, that sounds like a fun organization. And so there's 15 of us on the line, and we are the most social group of all of the people during the week. So we're very social with each other and at our homes. So we meet a lot outside of the kitchen environment. The kitchen environment is a very large commercial kitchen. And so each of us has a specific task. And I'm lucky enough, I get to start the line. And so I usually start scooping up the vegetables that goes down the line, and then it goes onto a conveyor belt and then wrapped and immediately put into a flash freezer. These meals are sent out on Friday, Saturday, and I just heard now Sunday, and it's going to go statewide. And so I guess they will fly or drive the frozen food to various parts of Colorado. I don't know that whole setup yet. Now I'm moving along. Meals are very nutritionally oriented towards people with heart disease, cancer, and those, they're all nutritionally balanced for the individual and whatever their condition is. These meals are for people with life-threatening illnesses, and it's all free. There are 21 meals for the client. There's 21 meals for the caregiver. And if there's children in the home, they also receive meals. And it's all free of charge to them. Many of the people working on the line are big contributors to financially to provide these meals.
Well, I understand that you provide, not only are they medically tailored meals, last year, I think it was, I looked it up and it was 560,000 meals were given out last year. 560,000 meals. And this went to, they said that's anywhere you around 1,700 people receive those meals every week. 1,700 people. That's a big operation.
On Tuesday, and I work on the Tuesday team in the morning, we did 1,380 meals, I believe, that day.
Wow.
And so once you walk in the kitchen, you're not just standing around, you're moving. So it really is a workout to go in, and because it moves fast and we're efficient. Well, we've been together, there's several, I would say. I'm one of the newbies, being there 12 years actually. And everything runs very smoothly.
That's fantastic. How long has the Angel Heart organization been around? Do you know?
It was started in the 80s for the benefit of AIDS patients.
Okay.
It was started in the church, I think St. Barnabas Episcopal Church in the basement. And then they moved to another location. I did not know that, was not involved in that. And then to the new big kitchen, and that's where I came in. And I think they've only been open a few months at the 1450 Washington Street location. There's not the AIDS patients, so now they designated it as life-threatening illness. And people that can't prepare meals for themselves. And it has to be approved by a doctor to state that they need these services.
Well, that makes sense, because that way it keeps it really focused on the people who need that and the people that have to have their meals medically tailored. So that gives them the opportunity to stay focused in that area. So that's pretty amazing. I looked up their website, and their website is Project Angel Heart, all one word, .org. And I know people can donate there if they just really understand the impact that this is having on the medical, the people with medical needs. I think that's phenomenal. So I would love to see our listeners go to that page once again, Project Angel Heart, one word, .org, and look and see. They make it really easy to donate in several different ways. So that'd be great, because I would love to see them get some money to your favorite charity, your favorite organization. That smile on you always shows up when we mention that organization. So I understand you just celebrated 12 years of volunteer work there. And
I'm a newbie compared to many of the others.
Wow. So you work on the lines of helping to prepare the meals and put the meals together. Are there any other jobs you've had there over the years?
Excuse me?
Have there been any other jobs there that you've had over the years?
Honestly, no. Comically, I guess. I just sling hash.
Just sling hash. Now, there's no just in there. You sling hash so people can eat. I love it. That's fantastic. So since you're the guy who can't say no, and I know full well, and that's what your friends do call you, the guy who can't say no. Even with all this other volunteer work you do, that you have to be driven to these places, and you have to make arrangements for rides, and you have to do all this stuff in addition to just showing up. You've also now volunteer work at the Lions Club. Tell us about that.
That's correct. Well, individual that we both know, Penn Street, is visually challenged, and I'm a good friend with her brother-in-law, and so he brought us together, and she decided that I needed to be busier, so now I'm on the Denver Lions board, and it's a great organization, and my specialty in that area, because there's many, many charitable projects they have. I do the eyeglass. I'm working on the eyeglass section of it, and recycling eyeglasses. And then they have the kids' eyesight program where they go into the schools and do readings on kids' eyes to see if they need glasses or if they need a doctor to deal with whatever situation they may have. And it's a really an exciting area. I'm just amazed at the amount of glasses that are recycled. It's just boxes and boxes. So we now have a warehouse, and we go in once a month and work hours to sort the glasses. So it's a wonderful program. And a lot of it goes overseas. Labrador. Yeah, I believe a lady just got back from Labrador having delivered glasses to that country.
Wow. So people that are out there wondering, what can I do with my old glasses when they're finished? Because I just got new.
Yeah. Come see me. Deliver.
Come see you. I love it. So they can go to any, is that any local Lions Club, like in different parts of the country
absolutely.
Too?
Absolutely. Yes. So, and there's boxes out there. And I would imagine most optometry offices have a box. And then a Lions member would pick it up.
That's fantastic. How do you go about sorting glasses? Because, I mean, their glasses are glasses.
Well, okay. So they're sorted. If they're broken or whatever, they're sorted out. And then they're cleaned, number two. And then they have glass readers to determine the strength. And they sort them by the strength. They're put in plastic bags and ready to be shipped out wherever that might be, all over the world. But there's a machine. Showing you when you can't see this. It's a machine that actually reads the strength of the glass.
That's fabulous. That's incredible. I mean, talk about wanting to recycle something that's important to people, to give people eyesight back again, is wonderful. That's what a beautiful thing to do. I had no idea that the Lions Club did that. I knew there were Lions Clubs and they were a service organization. I had no idea that that's where that came from. And Penn, who you mentioned, Penn Street, we had her as a guest on our program a couple of weeks ago. And she was telling us also about that the Lions Club does all that work with the seeing. And that, and she said one of the reasons is they called it the Lions Club originally was because of the fact that lions can see so well. Yeah. Their eyesight is so good. And I said, oh, I think that's an interesting story.
And at CU Med Center, the eye clinic, eye bank, I should say, is funded by the Lions Club.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it got started. And the marquee on the entrance is the Lions Eye Center.
And I noticed one other thing that that we had talked about is one other thing that you had participated in is you were in the Shriners at one time. Yeah. And the Shriners working with the Shrine Hospital. Tell us a little bit about what you did there, what your volunteer was at the Shriners.
Well, I got on the Truman team, I guess that would be the correct term, and we selected candidates, patients for the Shrine Hospital. And once the child went to the hospital, all fees, everything was paid. Well, they paid for the transportation too. And in many cases, they paid for the housing of the parent. I believe only one parent got to go. It's wonderful what they do. And they do a lot with cancer and burns.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So how many Shrine hospitals are there? Are there, I'm speaking from my ignorance on that.
Yeah, right. And mine too now. Salt Lake City was the center we sent to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think Knoxville, Tennessee has one. I think there's four. But it might be that number might be off.
Okay. Well, that's amazing. So one of the other things that a lot of people don't know about you that I happen to know, and that is you have been so generous with giving scholarships to so many young people that could not afford to go to college. And you have just been incredibly, not only actively involved with helping people, but financially helpful. And you've earned your wings, man. When I talk about our friends saying things like you are the guy who can't say no, I know that for a fact. And so I applaud you for all your volunteer work and the example you set for other people. And I would like to, we're probably going to be closing out here. I know our time goes really fast, but is there anything you would like to share just from your heart with people out there? Because people listening to this podcast are sitting there in awe at how much wonderful things people are doing. What do you have to say to those folks about getting out there and helping?
Well, it doesn't matter your physical condition. There's always people much worse off than you. And also they need help. And giving reassures you, the individual, that you're important in this world too. And I have really enjoyed and met so many wonderful, wonderful people in my lifetime. And I feel very honored that I was able to help send kids through several of them through college. And And also to see them come back as young adults and in their careers and doing well. And so I just got my last gentleman. He's on his career as an electrician and just doing fantastically well, but he was almost homeless a few years ago. So we meet once a month for dinner. So now we're doing ethnic restaurants. We're learning all the different cuisines. So on Friday night, we're going to Ethiopia to learn the cuisine there.
Wonderful. That's great. So not only are you helping other people, but your heart feels all of that wonderfulness going out there. So
that is correct.
Well, thank you, Dennis. I cannot begin to thank you enough. And I hope that our listeners, once again, take it to heart to realize that no matter what your condition, you can always smile at someone. You could do something good for somebody, and it all comes back multiplied. So thank you so much, Dennis. And I hope we get a chance. I would love to chat with you again sometime in the future and chat about some of the other things that you're doing, because I know the list goes on and on and on. So our time only limits us. So thank you so much. And for those of you who are listening in, please listen in again next week. We'll have another wonderful program for you about people that are out there doing wonderful things to make this a more harmonious and better place for everyone. So please tune in again next week and go to our website, which is theharmonygoal, all one word, .com, and you can find our other episodes out there. So enjoy, and thank you for participating today.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal Podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.